True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
There are two different things going on here with the Democrats. The first is they are watching with terror as all the different sources of government money that has propped them up for the last 60 or 70 years, all of it is now being challenged by President Trump and by Elon Musk. I mean, this cuts at the very base of their coalition. And if they can't bribe people, if they can't act corruptly, if they can't take care of their friends, their entire coalition is going to collapse.
Welcome to Wiggins America. Oh, great. Here we go again. Wiggins is talking about the NGO money. Here we go again. It seems like I open every show with this, and I'm not going to stop because this is the key that unlocks the whole thing. All of that stuff about, well, they're getting rid of documents. You know, they released the JFK files, and there's nothing really that bombshell in them. Well, it's because they've had 70 years to scrub them. You know, whatever it is. I'm not doing the math, but all these things, even if it was just a year ago they did something illegal. First of all, you think they're really going to put that in a document? And some of it, even if it did make documents, they've been paper shredding that stuff like crazy. You think we're going to find all that? No, but you can follow the money. The money speaks volumes, and they've done a very good job of trying to cover that up too, but it's all going to come out. I thought Newt Gingrich did a great job, that was on Sean Hannity this week, of talking about the way this whole thing is unraveling, and it will continue to unravel. We're just at the very, very beginning of this. Thank God that one of the top priorities of this administration, I don't even know if they meant to do this or if it was just that they started uncovering just one little layer and they went, uh-oh, you got to pull back all the other layers and you just keep going. We're kind of in the midst of that now. But the one of the first things that happened, like the first week of the administration, is they found all that crazy, goofy, stupid money being spent at USAID. We all had to learn what USAID was. It wasn't USAID. It's typical. They name these things to sound wonderful, like, oh, you can't cut off USAID. And then you find out how much money laundering has been going on through these things. And you go, oh, it's because they have nice names. Nobody ever touches them. That's the weird thing about even somebody like Newt Gingrich. These are politicians. They've been in the system. He was the Speaker of the House. But he was the Speaker of the House in the 90s. And so a lot of them, a number of things go into this. One, he was in the 90s. And so it probably wasn't as bad then. And it's just gotten worse, worse and worse and worse. Snowballed even through Biden's term. Probably wasn't even as bad in Trump's first term. It was bad, but it's probably even worse now. The other thing is that some of them knew it was a problem, but they didn't really know how to tackle it. And they didn't have the political backing of the people that you do now. You know, that's one of the reasons that I keep talking about it, because we got to keep the will, keep going at these things, because this is the beast that needs to be destroyed right here. And it's right in the crosshairs. We got to stay on it. But back then, you know, was that really the point? Not really. It wasn't even the point a few years ago. We're just finding out about this now. The other is that not Gingrich, but other politicians have tried to take this on. That's what's crazy, is that people like Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Al Gore are on record as trying to take down some of this ridiculous bureaucratic spending in their terms, and they couldn't do it because the bureaucracy is the fourth arm of government, and it is bigger than the presidency now. I think we all can see how that's true. Now, the presidency, this guy is taking no prisoners. President Trump, he is going after this thing anyway because they've tried to do everything possible to stop him, and they haven't been able to. I mean, all this stuff's all linked, right? The courts, you know, a lot of these judges, they're on the boards of these NGOs, and they're ruling on them. That's a huge conflict of interest because they're on the dole, and they're preventing him from stopping them. That's really happening right in front of our eyes right now. Trump's not going to stop, but why did Barack Obama, Clinton, Gore, some of these people, they're on record as, and a lot of Republicans too, but I'm just naming them because I'm like, look, these are Democrat presidents and vice presidents that were trying to stop this stuff too. Well, what happened to them? Well, I think they ran into a brick wall first, and then one of two things happened. I don't know which one to these guys. Either they just realized this thing's too big, I'm not going to be able to do anything about it, and they just sort of tried to work within it, or they became a part of it. And that's what I think happened probably to the to the Bidens and the Obamas, is that they actually embraced that system, and they may have wanted to reform it at first, realized they couldn't, and then said, well, then screw it. I'm just going to kind of become it. That's what I think is going on right now, and why people who are part of these recent administrations, the Clintons, you know, probably through Hillary more than Bill at this point, are so afraid of what's happening. Because as Gingrich said in that clip that we played there, this stuff is big, it's corrupt. If you take apart the system of, he says bribery, but payments is what he's talking about, the whole thing is going to collapse. So you're not really going to have much of a party left. And he gets into, I'll play another clip here in a second, of what the party, you know, take away the money and this is what it becomes. But that money is going away. It's going to be a hard-fought battle to get it to go away permanently. But once it does, this is what the Democrat Party will be left with.
Second, you have a very large part of the Democratic Party for whom the beliefs you were describing, transgenderism, for example, are religious beliefs. This is a secular religion. They can't unlock because they believe these things. They believe in an open border. They believe that there really is no such thing as America. They believe that it's really good to have millions of people flood into this country. It's really good to have people who don't have to work, that work requirements are inherently bad. All of these things are a semi-religious or religious belief system, and that's why they can't unlock. It's not rational. They can't sit down and do a common sense analysis. They're instead trapped into being for things that are profoundly unpopular with most Americans.
I get why Gingrich is comparing the left orthodoxy and like the really progressive stuff to religion. I just hate it because you're sort of saying that if you're in religion, you also are not rational. I don't believe that at all. But I get what he's saying. He's saying that, and you've met people like this. I've met people like this. I'm a Christian, but I've met Christians like this who they have a belief system and it's based on Christ, and I would agree with it, but the minute you sort of push back a little bit on anything, it kind of falls apart. It's because they're not really deeply rooted in the faith. Jesus gives a parable about that, about how he throws the seed. You know, the gardener throws the seed around on good soil and rocky soil, and then there's some that has weeds and some that chokes it out, and only one of the four ends up actually growing roots deep and growing into a fully blooming fruit-producing plant. It's because most people in general, and this is applies to Christianity, applies really to anything, their root system of their beliefs is really not that deep. And so when it challenged, they can't really figure out how to defend it. It takes intelligence, it takes confidence, and it takes a lot of study and examination of your own beliefs to get to that point. And what Gingrich is saying is there's a huge contingency. It's probably 30% of the country, and that would be about half of the Democrat Party, that is so deeply rooted into progressivism that they're really not going to be able to switch over. They're not listening to outside sources and thinking, well, let me examine all things. They've found their orthodoxy. And yes, it's paper thin, but they're not going to move from it. They've got enough people around them to insulate them that they can kind of do their little, you almost call it a church group.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Group, like their little organizations that they all preach the same thing, and they all are, you know, really victims and all this stuff, you know. But they've insulated themselves to the point where they really have taken it over as a religion. So Gingrich is rightly pointing out that if you take away the money, that's all that's left is these unpopular positions. And then what do? Right. He makes another really good point here, and I'll end on Gingrich's final point that he made this week.
Look, I mean, you have to accept that there was a lobbyist bureaucratic empire, that empire took your money, gave it to its friends, even if they were totally incompetent, and then you'll find case after case where your money went out to systems that just don't work. That's crazy. And at that time, they were taking care of themselves. What makes President Trump potentially the most consequential president since Abraham Lincoln is the fact that he's taking a sledgehammer and he is pounding the establishment in a way that no one has since Franklin Roosevelt created it in the 1930s. He's the first person, and I'm a great fan of Ronald Reagan. Reagan defeated the Soviet Empire, but he didn't try to take on the American establishment. Trump has had the guts to go straight at it, and I think the American people are going to be with him even more so when they learn how really sickeningly bad it is.
It's not just one thing. It is the whole thing that Trump is taking on all at once. And that's why it's so intimidating. And that's why he even said Reagan couldn't even do it. Reagan didn't even really attempt to take a part of the establishment. And I said earlier in the segment, you know, it's probably that the establishment wasn't as bad then either, or as big or bloated. But it's gotten so big, so bad, and they will come after you with everything they've got. They almost killed him, and he is not stopping. That is why people are like, man, this dude is, he's going to be a legend. I guarantee it. We get done with this presidency, you're going to have T-shirts that have him giving the middle finger like Johnny Cash on, you know, on hats and stuff forever, because he's so anti-establishment. He's busting all of it up, and nobody had the guts or the will to do it until now, and he's doing it. Now, this money, though, is rampant. It is going to take a while, because it's not as if, you know, the Soros is of the world, and there's many, many others, but he's just a well-known name. But he and all the others, they've been taking money for a long time. So that money, while it's drying up, and we haven't even really gotten that deep yet, but it's drying up now. They're starting to cut it off now. But they still have it right now. So they're going to continue to fund all these protests and all these crazy things for quite a while. That doesn't just stop immediately, but they are shaking in their boots, man, because they've been getting a lot of illicit money for a long time. And the Stacey Abrams one is the best example, because she's just one of probably 10,000. I've seen it's in the 10,000s of these random NGOs. It may be higher than that, but she's one. And she was in Georgia getting about $2 billion. $2 billion with a B. Again, that's $999 million times two. That's numbers that get beyond even understanding what that means. That they were using to buy new stoves for one little county in Georgia because they're trying to make them greener, you know, the Green Initiative stuff. $2 billion to buy a few stoves in one county. Where'd the rest of that money go? Well, you know, it's spread around. It goes to all these different random causes and ends up back in people's pockets. And all that is ending exactly as Gingrich is saying. And the whole system is going to collapse on itself. And then what's left of the Democrat Party? What's left of even some of the Republicans? You're going to find Republicans in this too. Let's not kid ourselves. All right, let's take a short break. I just think it's so important to keep talking about this because it's like happening right in front of your eyes. I can't believe it. It's finally happening. This is Wiggins America.
Air 404. Humorous tagline not found. Wiggins America.
And now, an excerpt from The Grocery List, a book by Ryan Wiggins.
I would like to see a superhero movie about an unassuming man who is immune to almost everything, except, as we would find out, bullets. Yep, just regular old bullets. And swords. And when you get right down to it, a good hard punch. Also, he would be slow. Not super slow, just slow.
The Grocery List, Food for Thought, by Ryan Wiggins. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I don't know if you're watching the Wisconsin Supreme Court election very closely. This is stuff that is really, really, really political nerd stuff, because it will affect the nation, but if you're not really engaged, you're not paying that close of attention to it, especially if you're not in Wisconsin, of course. But what's going on in Wisconsin is you have a Supreme Court that right now is one seat to the Democrats. So I think it's seven seats and four of them are Democrat, three of them are Republican. And this seat would swing it back the other way if Republicans could take it. The reason national interests are paying such close attention to this is because they say if Republicans can take back the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they can prevent Democrats from re-gerrymandering or declaring the current political map in Wisconsin to be unconstitutional based on whatever, you know, there's just something. And then Republicans would, in their estimation, lose two congressional districts, two seats. They wouldn't lose electoral votes. They would lose two congressional seats because Democrats would then be able to redraw those lines. That's what they're saying. Well, how big is the House majority right now? Well, it's about two or three seats after the special elections get done. So you're talking about that's the balance of the whole House right there, and that's why it's so important, okay? So this is big picture stuff, and it all comes down to this one election in Wisconsin that's happening on Tuesday. So if you are that engaged and you think this is that important, then you're really, really paying attention, and I understand that. I don't think this election is as important as people are painting it, but I'm not saying it's unimportant. I'm just saying that there are several dominoes that have to fall to get to the point where they actually make Republicans automatically lose two House seats. It can happen, and that's why you hope that the Republican would win. So you have Brad Schmiel, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is the Republican in the race running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and you have, I think it's Susan Crawford, is the Democrat running for Supreme Court. Now, this election just happened, different candidates, just happened in 2023, if you recall. You really have to pay attention to remember that one. And Wisconsin's a swing state, right? So it goes back and forth, and depending on the election, it swings, swing, swing. Democrats won that election by 10 points in 2023. So that was an off-year election. So they're looking at this one going, yeah, are Republicans really going to have a chance here? Is the Republican base, you know, much more motivated now because of the Trump election? Well, no, actually, they're not. Or at least they shouldn't be, because typically in an off-year election, when Republicans are in charge, which they are right now, both chambers of the Congress nationally and the president, you'd have lower turnout for Republicans. So this, to me, is just as much important as a gauge on the electorate as it is to this particular election. And so that's what I'm watching more than this election. So I'm going to go ahead and make my call. And if you follow Wiggins America, you've heard me make a lot of calls. Quick history. I picked every single swing state to go red. In all the ones that did, I picked. All the ones that didn't, I didn't. I had 100% success rate. Across Congress, I picked the exact number of Senate seats in 2024. I picked the Republicans narrowly holding onto the House. I went 100% in all the elections of 2024 and the special elections of 2023. You go back before that, and I'm not on record. I just can sort of pontificate and say that I was around there, but I'm on record, and you can find those podcasts if you want. So as we
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar free first round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
go into this election, I'm going to tell you right now, Republicans are not going to win that election. At least they shouldn't. The only way that Republicans could still win this Wisconsin Supreme Court seat is if the ground game of Republicans has gotten so much better, mainly due to Turning Point Action, TPUSA, that's Charlie Kirk's, maybe a little bit of Scott Pressler in there. But if the ground game and the turnout game have gotten that much better, that they actually can turn out ahead of the race, you know, Election Day being Tuesday, then it's possible. But the numbers that I'm looking at, probably not. Now, here's the encouraging part of that, though. If you don't take that as just on this election, and you look at it more as a gauge of how is the national narrative playing out, you take an election that, compare it to 2023 when you had the same one. It was a Supreme Court election in Wisconsin. And I know I'm getting really deep here, so follow me, follow me, follow me. I'm almost done. But if you just take 2023 compared to this year and just look at the numbers, it should be that it would stay about the same, where Democrats would outperform Republicans by about 10 points. That is not happening. Right now, Democrats are outperforming Republicans by about 2 points. That's why they actually are within striking distance of winning this election. Still don't think they will. But the enthusiasm gap that should be there when Republicans control everything federally is actually not that big. In fact, they've narrowed that gap. So that, to me, is really important in an important election, because there have been lots of special elections where they, you know, you're just kind of all over the place. You're not really sure how to gauge them. This one is the first one that's getting national money, some national attention, and has national implications, even though it's a state election, to where if Republicans really are just 2 points down, and it turns out to be that way, really anything less than 10 points down, they made ground in 2 years. So I would view that as overall just a temperature win for Republicans. Now, temperature wins are nice, but you got to win elections. And if they lose this one, yes, it could have consequences, but I think they could be worse. So just my opinion. We got 2 days to find out. And just a reminder, I'll remind you again at the end of the show, that your local municipalities, maybe counties, probably have elections this Tuesday too. So vote this weekend, but definitely vote Tuesday, because your vote matters much more in these little elections. I've been really reluctant to talk about Collinsville's elections. It's my town, and it's right here in the St. Louis area, but it's so hyper-local that I know most people listening right now, well, you might be familiar with the town of Collinsville, but you don't really care about what's going on in the politics. But it's actually getting bigger and bigger news because it's so contentious. Well, St. Louis Public Radio is doing stories on it, and I've seen a couple other things that I'm like, well, maybe it's actually breaking through and it's a bigger story, and it's not just that I'm there, you know? But I've had multiple people reaching out to me saying, are you paying attention to this? Yes. Yes, I am paying attention. And in fact, a reminder again, I think I've done it in every segment, that elections are Tuesday. Vote in your local elections, because your vote goes a lot further in these local elections than it does in national ones. But they've dug up, like tried to find receipts on the township supervisor, Derek Cox. And they said, oh, he's running slush funds on the side. And, you know, I talked to people to try to find out what the truth was. Nonpartisan people, just, you know, what's really going on here. Apparently, it's all just ginned up, and they're trying to censure him and do stuff that he's like, look, I have all the receipts. Everything's here. and in fact, he was trying to save taxpayers money by making this fund so that it was separate from the taxes, as far as I understand. And so all this stuff that's been brought up, it's like watching national dirty politics in my town. And it's like, whoa, man, this is crazy. I had people come to my door canvassing for library board who were saying they really want to get less Christianity in the library. I'm like, whoa, man, really? You just come right out and say that? Actually, he didn't come out and say that. I asked the question and they responded in that way. And I was like, dang, man. So it's up and down the line throughout Collinsville. And it's like, wow, this is crazy to watch. This is stuff you expect on the national stage, not between And it's just like our town, you know? I don't know. I guess I'm a little surprised because we're not a big town, but it's getting nasty. We'll find out what happens on Tuesday. I pray for the most honest and the best people to win these elections. And usually that's what happens, especially with the local stuff, because people know them, you know? It's harder to paint a picture of somebody when you can just go talk to that person. It's real easy nationally, because I can't just go talk to Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, but I can go talk to these people, and you know them. Anyway, now this. Snow White. Nobody's seeing Snow White, and that's okay. Apparently the movie is not very good, not just according to woke standards, you know, that's what we're talking about. But it changed the plot of the movie. You don't need the prince. Rachel Zegler's out there talking about how she's reforming the original story of Snow White, as if people are watching Snow White and going, ah, this is garbage. I can't believe we ever believed these things. You know, Snow White didn't need to be remade. They already remade it, actually. They made Snow White and the Huntsman in 2012 with Kristen Stewart, and it was a fine movie. So this was unnecessary, and for her to go out there and just full woke it has been a disaster. And apparently the movie itself, regardless of how you feel about the politics, is just not that good. Nobody's seeing it. So it's fallen apart, and I sort of hate to see that, actually. I know that a lot of people's jobs depends on these things, and an artistic vision goes through. The director's son is out there going, look, he's mad at Rachel Zegler for politicizing this movie that wasn't intended to be. And all this stuff. And of course, Disney has allowed this to happen. Disney really has lost its way for a few years there. Hopefully they're getting back on track now. This is still stuff that's been in the pipeline coming out. But the reason I even bring that up, because all of this racial stuff that's around Snow White, you know, her being Colombian, so Latin American, and not white, is... they're doing this to all the Disney movies, but this one in particular is different because it's like, well, you can have an Ariel mermaid who's not white, and that's not really integral to the story, but Snow White, the purpose is that she's white, like she's fair, who's the fairest of them all. And the interesting thing about this is that it's actually, you know, people think that's racial, but weird little story here. I was talking to my grandma once a few years ago, and so not related to Snow White, but she said that when she was at about this time, you know, when Snow White was made, this was the 30s, she was born in the early 30s, she was not rich or anything, and so they would get side jobs when she was young, probably 8, 9 years old, picking tomatoes and stuff, picking stuff in farms. And everybody who did this would dress up in these like thick clothes. And she said it was so uncomfortable, it was so hot, but everybody who picked crops, they didn't want the sun to get them because that showed that you were poor. So it wasn't about racial, at least according to her story, that a lot of the times when you talk about fairest and white, you were talking about rich because you didn't have to go out in the sun and do labor. So they would cover themselves up so that they didn't look poor. So it was more about tanning than it was about race. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, I just thought I'd pass that along. Now, it doesn't mean that race isn't involved in any conversation. It just means that a lot of the times these references, just because of the time period, they get a little bit lost. Man, I love this song. It's so dumb. It was made in 1987 about Star Trek, but even when I was a kid listening to this song, I had no idea what Star Trek even was. Yeah, I didn't watch Star Trek until I was in my 20s. I don't know why. My family just didn't watch Star Trek, and I never watched it in reruns or anything. So I ended up loving Star Trek, but when I was listening to this song as a kid, I didn't even know what it was about. I just loved the song. So do you remember, if you've been in St. Louis your whole life, do you remember when you were a kid in like the early 90s, they had a radio station in St. Louis that lasted just 2 or 3 years, but it was all for kids? And the main song that they played was Ice Cream Baby. It was, you know, Vanilla Ice parody. But then this one was another one that they played quite a bit. And I have no clue what that station was called. It was called like KIDS or something like that, something kind of clever. But if you remember what that station was, please reach out to me because I'm racking my brain trying to figure out what that station was called. At Radio Wiggins on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook as well. Speaking of kids, we had some hearings this week about PBS. Now, a little background on me. Before being at this radio station, I've been here since 2018. Before that, I had a television production company, and we made a television show. We made a few shows, but really the most successful one we made that went basically national on PBS was called Songstage, and we did two seasons of it. It was, for what we were trying to do, very successful. We never really sold it. Like, we never made money on it. We just kind of got by. But I was always grateful that PBS existed back in 2016 through 18 when that show aired, because, you know, we had a platform for it. So I'm not anti-PBS. I just don't like that it's government funded. Like, we don't need that. you don't need this anymore. Maybe there was a time when you wanted to have something that was purely educational, especially for kids. We're just past that. And I think everybody knows that, except for Representative Garcia, who was talking to one of the heads of PBS in Congress this week.
He is a puppet, but no.
Now, that's not all. He also has a very dangerous message about sharing and helping each other. He's indoctrinating our kids that sharing is caring. Now, maybe he's part of a major socialist plot, and maybe that's why the chairwoman is having this hearing today. But let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about Cookie Monster. Now, we know that Health Secretary RFK Jr. is coming out against fast food and baked goods. Are we silencing pro-cookie voters? Yes or no? Ms. Carter.
But cookies are a sometime food.
Well, thank you. And now, I agree with you. And let's also talk about the most important, maybe, character on Sesame Street. This is actually Big Bird. Now, Ms. Carter, since Elon Musk actually fired USDA workers who have been working on the bird flu, does it make sense to also fire Big Bird? Yes or no?
We would like to keep Big Bird.
Now, he's using examples like Elmo at the very beginning there, then Cookie Monster, and then Big Bird to make political points. But ultimately, the point he's making, and at the end of this whole diatribe that he gives here, he says, you know, yes, I'm trying to make points, but it's all about saving PBS. Should we be getting rid of PBS? So his arguments are not only illogical and erroneous. He probably knows that they are. If you defund PBS, the public broadcast system, what's it called? I can't remember the name of it. There's like multiple layers. You're not defunding PBS. You're defunding the organization that funds PBS. And then NPR is separate. So, but they're similar, you know, similar structures. You wouldn't defund PBS. PBS might be able to exist without government funding. I doubt it. But that's why they always ask for viewers like you, and they have all these sponsorship rules, which I know all about because we did programming for them, and they're very, very strict about their sponsorship rules. Well, they would just have to open up those rules a little bit and become a little bit more commercial. They have all of these corporate sponsors that they do a lot of local stuff with. They'd have to nationalize that. I mean, it's just, you just have to change your business model and not rely on taxpayers anymore. But here's my main problem with what Garcia was saying there, and the head of PBS went along with it. And she very much knows. Even if he didn't know, she knows that what she's saying isn't true. Because all of those Sesame Street references, that's all a shell game. PBS doesn't even make Sesame Street anymore, and they haven't for the better part of a decade. HBO owns the rights to Sesame Street, and they have since 2020. That's not a new thing. In fact, HBO can't even figure out how to make money on Sesame Street, so it might be done forever. Like, the last episodes of Sesame Street may be done. They might not ever make any more again because HBO, a for-profit company, can't figure out how to make money on Sesame Street, which is an iconic brand. So if HBO can't figure it out, you know PBS isn't going to go back and rebuy it without government. I mean, the only way to float it would be with taxpayer money. And you can't even do it with private money. It doesn't make any sense, first of all, business-wise. Second, Garcia probably knows, and the head of PBS definitely knows, that they aren't in charge of Sesame Street. Maybe some PBS local affiliates still run reruns, but a lot of them don't. They've really banked on Daniel Tiger. I know this from having done business with them. I don't know everything about PBS, just having been, you know, a programmer, but I can tell you that they do not make Sesame Street anymore. PBS does not have the rights to that show, and they haven't for 5 or 6 years. So all this line of questioning is totally bunk. And somebody in Congress, somebody on the right, should have called that out. I don't know that they did, but it might be a moot point anyway because it's so stupid. But anyway, that's been going on this week, and I actually love... Here's the problem. Amidst these conversations, the ideology and the funding is what matters, because I actually have an affinity for PBS, having done programming for them somewhat nationally for 2 years. And I grew up watching Sesame Street, probably like you did, on PBS. And in fact, one of my earliest memories of my entire life is watching the Sesame Street movie from 1985 at a drive-in called Follow That Bird. And if my mom were listening to me say this, she would be laughing, because it's one of the reasons that I remember it. I think I was 3 and a half when we watched that movie, is because I wept. I mean, I was inconsolably crying when Big Bird leaves Sesame Street. Like, he goes on some journey. And the problem with the movie is that on the show Sesame Street, you know, there's barely any strife. Like, there's not a lot of problems. And when there are problems, it's something like, oh, my new flower that I got yesterday looks kind of wilted. I wonder why. And then somebody comes along and goes, well, it's because you got to water it. Let me teach you how to water a plant. You're like, oh, wow. You know, like, it's the most minimal amount of strife possible. And it's resolved in 30 seconds. Well, in a movie, there's like real ups and downs. There's a real act structure where at the end of act one and two, you know, things aren't looking good. And I couldn't handle it. At 3 and a half, man, I lost my blank. And I still remember, it really is one of my earliest memories, is in 1985 watching Follow That Bird at an area drive-in. Maybe it was Belleville. I don't remember. I just remember losing it and being like, I can't handle this. I can't handle it. And I had to run away. It was also pretty late, because that's what drive-ins are like. Anyway, this is Wiggins America. Thank you for tuning in this week. If you missed the show, you know, the rest of the show, if you're just tuning in at the end here, we discussed a lot in just an hour here, and I encourage you to get the podcast. If you want to know how this Wisconsin Supreme Court election is going to go on Tuesday, get the podcast, listen back to the predictions that I'm making in the second segment, and my track record's pretty dang good, so we'll see how that goes. And a reminder, this is the last time I'll probably talk to you before Tuesday, that most municipalities and some counties are having elections on Tuesday, so don't forget to vote. In fact, your vote in these elections matters more than probably in the nationals, because the turnout of these elections is so low that contact your local Republican Party or whatever and find out a little bit more about these candidates if you haven't done any research. Just find out generally who people you agree with are agreeing with. That's the best way to do it, because they don't run on parties, you know. But you want to know who's standing for what locally, and then your vote really can swing an election. Like I've said before, that my little small group of 10 people at our church can swing elections if everybody shows up. That's how close some of these elections are. So vote on Tuesday, and we will see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home.
You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.